Hello and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we take care of each other when we get older? How do we make sense out of a life that sometimes doesn't make sense? How do we do all the things that we need to do in life to make sure that we've taken care of our mom or our dad or our grandma or grandpa? How do we spend money wisely? How do we keep from getting crummy advice? I'm going to talk about some of that today. How do we stay out of trouble? How do we keep from spending everything we have? How do we plan for this? It's not normal to have to plan for this. Most people don't even plan for their death, let alone planning for their frailty. And that's what this show has been dedicated to for 18 years here on KFBK, and what my life has been dedicated to for over 25 years. Glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. A couple things I have to get out of the way. Remember, I am not an attorney. I do not practice law. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that doesn't tell you you have to get a divorce. There's so much misinformation. I'm going to read some misinformation today, folks. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, California, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. Yes, there is such a thing. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of tax, financial, or legal advice. I have to say all that stuff while I can. Okay, I don't even know where to start. I want to talk about a couple things this morning. I want to talk about bad advice. I want to talk about some stuff somebody sent me the other day from somebody. I want to talk about wasted money. I want to talk about why nobody at the state of California gives a rat's you-know-what about seniors. I want to talk about where the future of long-term care is going to go, I believe. And I think that's where I want to start. Before I get there, a couple places you can contact me. Remember, you can always call me. If you're concerned about a loved one or you're trying to deal with a loved one, you can always call my office and come in and see me. The consultation is free. My office number is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. And if I'm not there, leave me a message. I'll call you back. You can always get to one of my workshops. My upcoming workshop is, my next workshop is on May the 13th. That's a Saturday. May the 13th. You know, one of these days, I may talk a little bit before the end of the hour about why you should come to one of my workshops. They're not like anything you've ever been to in your life. Oh, Bob, I've been to workshops. Not mine. Not mine. I don't sell any products at the workshop. I talk about what the reality is getting old. I don't sugarcoat things. I don't make stuff up. I talk about what I've experienced in 25 years of dealing with this and how it works. And then I'm going to try to give you solutions for your family, not for your neighbor, not for your best friend Phil, not for your Aunt Jemima, not for whoever it is, but for you and your family. So if you haven't been to one of my workshops, check my website, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can go there and you can see when my upcoming workshops are. You can sign up. You can do all that kind of stuff. You can also just call my 800 number, 800-999-8007, and go there. You can listen to my webcasts. My podcasts. You can listen to my archived radio shows. You can ask me a question. You can sign up for an appointment. You can get on my free newsletter list. All the things that you can do right there at assetsandaging.com. There's no excuse for not being prepared. There's no excuse for losing everything. It's just being inattentive and believing that somehow your family will escape the ravages of long-term care. And not helping that, I subscribe to a lot of newsletters, folks. I have Google Words pop up. I try to pay attention to stuff. I have a couple friends that do this that are smarter than I am. I pick their brains all the time. There's a bunch of us that communicate with each other on what's happening. And if you don't believe there's an all-out war on seniors, you're just not reading. You're not paying attention. You're not looking. You're going to wherever it is you go, and they're going to tell you everything is fine. One of the things I'm really annoyed with, and I have been for a long time, is all these pardon me, all these organizations that represent some disease, and they're all, you know, dependent upon research grants and charitable donations and all that. And every time you get their newsletter, the latest thing is, oh, we're close to a new breakthrough. There's going to be a new breakthrough. It's never there's a breakthrough, the disease is cured. It's a way to keep hope alive, but at the same time keep money flowing in. There's a real industry in disease, not just doctors and hospitals, in nonprofits, in diseases and affinity diseases and that kind of stuff. I'm not telling you they don't do good work, but I'm telling you until the cure comes, we're all going to get older and we are going to become more frail because we live longer. We no longer die at reasonable ages. We live to be unreasonable ages without quality of life. This is my opinion only, but I think it's a pretty good one. Without quality of life and many cares, institutionalized, or laying in bed all day, or laying in the recliner all day, no social interaction, not being able to move around very well. We do all that, but we never plan for it. It kind of happens by default. And there's an entire industry set up to take care of our lack of planning. From hospitals to social workers to discharge planners to placement agencies to assisted living to board and cares to nursing homes to in-home care to organizations set up for comfort care. There is a gigantic industry, plaintiffs bar, lawyers who sue nursing homes and caregivers and all that kind of stuff. There's an entire industry set up to strip seniors of every nickel that they have. The mortgage industry, insurance industry. I had somebody come into my office the other day that bought a product from an insurance agent, and they took 100% of their liquid capital and put it into that product. That person that came to see me was 79 years old, and the product they bought had a 10-year surrender penalty. Do you think a 79-year-old might need some money for their care as they got older? Well, that money is now tied up. Not saying the product is bad, folks. I'm talking about the planning that went into it. There's an entire... Understand what happens when you go and get sick. If you don't understand this system, you will become a victim of it. I have a diagram that I do sometime. I've done it for some legislators. They don't care. I've done it for some other people. And it's called the chairs. And imagine kind of this scenario. A lot of you have already become a victim of it. And this is all tied together. And I'm going to try to do something I normally do on paper. I've never tried to do this before. And you're going to have to visualize this, and you're going to have to pay attention. Medicine in America is not the medicine that you and I knew even 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It is all run by corporations. Your family doctor is in the process of going out of business or being bought up. Groups of doctors are in the process of being of going out of business or being bought up because they can't compete with the gigantic medical chains, the big hospital chains, the big health chains. They can't compete anymore. So mom, I'm going to use mom. It could be dad, it could be grandma, it could be whoever. But mom gets sick and she goes to the hospital. And I want you to follow the bouncing ball. I don't care what mom's sickness is. It's irrelevant. But she goes to the hospital. She's in the ambulance. You've just started. The ambulance isn't paid for by health insurance. You now owe the ambulance company $1,000 for the trip to the hospital. No, Medicare doesn't pay for ambulances. Medicare doesn't pay for it. So we're now out $1,000 getting to the hospital. This is a show you ought to share with friends so that you understand what's happening. Now your family doctor, Dr. Schmidlap, you hope is going to be able to come to the hospital and see mom because nobody knows mom better than Dr. Schmidlap. Only you find out that Dr. Schmidlap no longer has privileges at the hospital. He hasn't for 5 years. He's not welcome there. He can come as a friend, but he can't prescribe anything. He can't bring his medical records with him. He can't offer any treatments. He can't make any decisions. He can't do anything. So you now are in the hands of the hospitalist. Actually, you're in the hands of the ER room because the ambulance took you to the ER room. You sit in the ER room for, I don't know how long. They come in and they put a blood pressure cuff on you and maybe they start an IV of saline or ringers or something like that. And they put a blanket over you and help make you comfortable. And they say the doctor will see you soon. How many of you have spent any time in an ER lately? How soon was it that the doctor saw you? And then they said they were going to order you some tests. And how soon was it that, you know, those tests came and the results came and you got back to the emergency room doctor who said, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen? How many of you have been through that? If you're lucky, you will only be in the emergency room 6 to 8 hours. Sometimes longer. And all this time, you're not actually admitted to the hospital. You're in the emergency room. And remember, how insurance pays is dependent upon all of this. Finally, they determine that you need to stay a little longer, and you go up to one of the rooms. They move you up to one of the rooms. Oh, and by the way, during all of this, they're not going to talk to your daughter. They're not going to talk to your son because nobody had your advanced health care directive and nobody had your HIPAA authorities to get medical information. Just as an aside. And that's a real possibility and it handles all the time. But your mom's transferred up to the floor and mom is there a couple days and then somebody says to you, you know, we need to move mom over to a nursing home for rehab. And you go, well, I don't want her to know. We're just going to move her to the nursing home for a week or so, get her strengthened up, and then send her home. And the family says, or mom says, okay, let's do that because I want to go home. So they move mom to the nursing home or the rehab center, and rehab is $700 a day. And you find out when you're done that the bill didn't get paid. Medicare didn't pick up the bill. Well, why is that? Well, because you were never admitted to the hospital. But Bob, we were in the I know, but you were there under observation. You were never admitted. And now all of a sudden, when mom comes out of rehab, she owes $10,000 plus the ambulance bill to the rehab center. And all this time, decisions are being made that you don't understand by people you don't really get to see. They live in cubicles somewhere. And you've now entered the long-term care industrial complex. It's not what it used to be. I've been doing this 25 years. It's not anywhere close to the quality of care that we used to have in a lot of places. So, but let's assume for a minute you were admitted to the hospital, and they take you to a rehab center. Well, what you don't know is that the hospitals and the discharge planners at the hospitals often have contracts with certain rehab centers. And they'll tell you, we're going to move you over to Acme Rehab over here, the Acme Rehab facility. And you say, well, can I go somewhere else? And you say, no, we've got a contract with them, so we're sending you to Acme Rehab. You don't know if Acme Rehab is any good or not. You don't know if that facility is any good or not. It may be 20 miles from your house. But they have a contract, and there's money flowing back and forth. Sometimes there's a placement agency involved, and there's money flowing back and forth. So you wind up in the rehab center. And a week or 10 days goes by, and you're a little bit better, and the rehab center says, well, you can walk 50 steps, you're going home. Now, when the family comes in, they look at mom and say, mom can't get out of bed. What do you mean she walked 50? Well, yeah, it's charted right here. She walked 50 steps. She's out of here. Well, how's she going to get home? Well, you're going to have to take her, or you're going to have to hire a transport, and they're going to take her home. There's another $500 not paid for by Medicare. But we'd like her to stay. Well, she can't stay because Medicare says she's done and she can walk 50 steps and she's fine. And the family is now taking mom home. And the reason why is not because mom's better. It's because Medicare has stopped paying for her rehab, and the rehab facility wants to resell that bed at another $700 to $900 a day. And all through this, the family has almost never been consulted and never understands what's going on. For some of you, you're sitting there bouncing up in your chairs going, that's exactly what happened to my mom. That's exactly what happened. That's what happened to my husband. We were told we had to leave. So far, almost everything I've talked about has not been in the best interest of the family or the patient. It's been strictly about money and the exchange of money between insurance companies, Medicare, hospitals, and rehab facilities. Now, if mom can go home, we're now confronted with who takes care of her. Well, as it turns out, the rehab facility or the hospital has a contract with a placement agency, and they're going to help find you in-home care. Or they're going to help find you an assisted living. What nobody told you is they're getting 1 to 3 months in commissions of the cost of the facility they're moving you to. And nobody told you that. Nobody told you you could bargain with the facility. Nobody told you you could find one on your own. The long-term care industrial complex is at work here. And all along the way, the family is going, what the hell just happened here? Yes, and I use the word for emphasis on purpose. Every client I have ever seen in 25 years walks into my office with the same glazed look on their face, and the thing that comes out of their mouth is almost always the same. What is going on? We've been told this. No, that's not true. But we were told it, but it's not true. Do you know, folks, I've actually had rehab facilities put people in a cab and send them home. The family doesn't even know that they're going home. All of this is happening just because mom or dad or whoever became frail and they couldn't take care of themselves, and the trip started with an ambulance trip that wasn't paid for. And this happens literally thousands of times every day in California. Not sometimes, every day. Now, mom can't go home, so now we have to find assisted living or a boarding care or a nursing home. And how do we do that? What nursing home am I going to move to? Does the hospital have a contract only with certain nursing homes? That happens. Do you think there's money changing hands? Yes. Or a placement agency is going to help you find assisted living, because the hospital social worker has an arrangement with a placement agency, and in exchange for some candy or some flowers or some meal tickets, that discharge planner refers over to this placement agency, who then refers you to an assisted living for which they get paid a commission. And then when you're in the assisted living, because you need more money to pay for it, they refer you to somebody that comes and does workshops inside the assisted living facility to help you get VA benefits or to pre-plan Medi-Cal, all the while making scores of money off of mom. And nobody talks about it. This incestuous relationship goes on every day. There are elder law attorneys I talk to every day who know that it's happening, are aware of it, and nobody cares. I know one elder law attorney in Southern California that has been on a quest to break this chain for years, and nobody cares. I have presented this to state legislators, and nobody cares. And then in the middle of all of this are nonprofits that want to sue the nursing home for sending mom home so that they can make a share of the commission from the lawyer, and they're all involved in this. There are actually nonprofits that troll nursing homes looking for unhappy clients. I couldn't make all this stuff up, folks. In 25 years, I've seen it all. I've talked to elder law attorneys that have seen it all and worse. There is an entire industry built around what happens to mom the minute she got in that ambulance. And the problem is that it's so intertangled and so incestuous that most people don't even know it's going on. One of the reasons people should come to my workshops, people should be at my workshops, is so that you can understand this when it begins to happen to you or your family, and you don't become a victim. Because this is happening literally thousands of times every day. Do you know how many placement agencies there are now in just Northern California, let alone California? There are national chains. They're advertising on TV. They've got stars advertising for them. Nothing wrong with them, folks. But if they're making $10,000 or $15,000 or $12,000 in commissions by finding a place for your grandma to go to, might you have been able to negotiate a lower fee for the assisted living facility if you dealt with them directly? Because if that placement agency is getting paid $8,000 or $10,000, where do you think that money comes from? It comes from higher costs in the assisted living facility or the board and care, because their lifeblood depends upon placement agencies putting people in their buildings, and they're going to go where they get the highest commission. Nothing wrong with it. God bless America. But on the same side, the consumer does not know it's happening and is not able to make wise decisions. My point is, in the minute and a half I have left in this half hour, is you have to know and understand. You have to know what's coming. You have to be prepared for it. You have to have the stuff in place that's going to allow your family to deal with it when it happens to you. And to understand the chain of events that begins the minute mom got in that ambulance or went to the hospital. It's important for you to understand as families, to protect yourself, to protect what you have, to make wise decisions, to be able to pick the best facilities, not the ones that you're sent to because somebody's making the most money. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Get to a workshop. Get in to see me. Bring the family. Be prepared. Have a plan so that when this happens to your family, you don't become a victim. You're out ahead. You're leading, not following. 800-999-8007. When I come back in a couple minutes, I've got a bunch more to talk about, including some bad advice and what the state just did to seniors. Just did it last week, so you'll be current and up to date. So don't go away. Stick around. We'll be back here in just a minute on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. 800-999-8007. Don't go away. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Well, we got more to talk about here. My number, 800-999-8007. You can contact me at my website also. My website is assetsandaging.com. 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 You can get information there, sign up for a workshop. I listen to my podcast every Wednesday at noon. I do a podcast on a different subject. This week's subject is how do we let go? We'll talk about that when you listen to the podcast. That'll be my podcast for the 29th. And if you don't listen to it on the 29th, you can always listen to it. It's archived on my website. I want to talk about some other stuff that's happening. You know, I'm always on the lookout for stuff. People say, well, Bob, why should we come to your workshop? So that you'll know what's going on. I want to read you something that I picked up the other day. An attorney called me and said, have you ever heard of these people? I said, no, I know most people in town. I'm not going to give you their names. But I want to read you something. This is why people get in trouble. This is from somebody in the local area, and it's from their website. I got to find it now because I forgot to highlight it. Da-da-da-da-da. So we keep this going so we don't have dead air. Where is it? Can the residents be given away? That's bad advice, but I'm not going to talk about that. Here it is. Can money be put into a trust to protect it from nursing home bills such that my spouse and I can still qualify for Medi-Cal? In some cases, an irrevocable trust can be used. For example, money can be transferred into a trust that will allow the income to go back to the creator of the trust. If you do that in California, that trust, Medi-Cal, will blow that trust up in 5 seconds. In California, you cannot get principal or interest out of an irrevocable trust and get on Medi-Cal. The state of California has ruled on it. It's gone through their legal department. And yet here's somebody saying, do this. After 36 months, the existence of that trust will not interfere with Medi-Cal eligibility. That is not true. That is patently untrue. And people who are taking this advice, and I could go to 27 other sources, folks, of stuff that people say, including, you know, getting a divorce, that is simply, patently, not true. I mean, it's simply not true. Okay? I want to read you one other thing, if I can find it. I'm reading from this same website. I wish I could tell you the name, but I can't. I'll just tell you it's in Northern California. And some of you have probably, never mind. The fact is, if you don't know how to protect your assets, here's what can happen to you. By law, before Medicaid, by the way, it's Medi-Cal in California, but even though this is a local agency, they're using Medicaid. By law, before Medicaid will pay nursing home bills, you have to spend all your countable assets except $2,000 or $115,000 married combined in assets. Not true. Absolutely not true. Untrue, not true. This is primarily an insurance agency when you look at the website. And what they're really trying to tell you is they're going to reposition your assets over that amount of money, and it's not true. Countable assets mean not only money in checking and savings, but most annuities and other types of investments too. Not true. They can also take a vacation home or a second car. Medi-Cal does not take anything. That's a lie. In addition, your entire Social Security or pension check can be taken to cover nursing home expenses. That Medi-Cal does not take Social Security or pensions. That's a scare tactic. What's more, with improper advice and not understanding the rules, you can even lose your house. Not true. That's a lie. That's a scare tactic. Now, here's the key. Is there anything you can do to stop this nightmare from happening to you? Yes, you are protected by law and can use several techniques to place your countable or vulnerable assets into the uncountable or protected category. There is no such thing in Medi-Cal rules anywhere called a protected category. There is no such thing in Medi-Cal rules as a vulnerable category. I shared this. This was actually given to me by an elder law attorney on the phone. We were so livid that this stuff was out there. Neither one of us had ever heard of this outfit, which stunned us both, because generally we know everybody around. But please be careful where you're getting your advice. Please double check it. Please call and ask me if what you've heard is true. And if I don't know the answer, I'll get you in touch with somebody who does. As I've said for years, be careful of Job's advisors. Remember the story of Job in the Old Testament? He had lots of problems and he had three advisors. And one of the things that was their advice always was wrong. So be careful of stuff that sounds good. Be careful of scare tactics. Do you need to plan a little? Yeah. Should you be concerned about the cost of long-term care? Yeah. Can you deal with it? Yeah. Can the rules be known? Yeah. They're not secret. They're everywhere. It's important that you be prepared. And let me tell you another reason why. This week, the state of California, who I've said for years, doesn't give a you-know-what about seniors. Now, I want you to think through this for a minute. Okay, think it through. Nursing homes are $8,000 to $10,000 a month. Assisted living is $4,000 to $5,000 a month. If the state of California had to pick one of those for you to live in that they were going to pay for, which one do you think would make the most sense? Come on, I'll give you a little time. It's a hard question. Would it be better for the state to be paying $8,000 a month or $4,000 a month for care for its senior population? Well, evidently, the state thinks that $8,000 is a better number. There was a program in California called the Assisted Living Waiver Program. And for certain low-income people who needed care, you could actually go to assisted living, and Medi-Cal would pay the bill. So instead of going to a nursing home that Medi-Cal was going to pay for, you could go to assisted living, and Medi-Cal would pay for it if you were, had certain economic limits on your life, which a lot of seniors have. I believe the state has approved 3,700 beds in the entire state for people. Now, understand there's 110,000 people in nursing homes, 120,000 people in nursing homes. There's about a million in assisted living. So 3,700 beds is not a lot of beds. Last week, the state of California, because they don't have any money, see, they're broke. I thought they were, you know, don't get me started, because I will say something I shouldn't say. They stopped the program. They froze it. They froze it. They froze it. We don't care about seniors. Well, here's what we care about. How many of you saw the other day that a bill has been proposed in the California State Legislature that would waive the income tax for teachers in California with 5 years or more experience? That will cost the state $2 billion in lost tax revenue. See, we have so much money in the state of California that we can do that. Now, I'm not picking on teachers. I think radio hosts should not have to pay California state income tax. But they just stopped the California waiver program, which helped take care of seniors in assisted living because they had no money. We've just added 5 million new people to the Medi-Cal rolls who pay no income tax. 3,700 lousy beds for seniors who paid taxes for 50 or 60 or 70 years. For them, we have no money. We have a train. We have a train. Many of you have been on the bullet train lately. We have a train. Okay, we have the finest freeways in the world. No potholes in our roads. I'm being a little facetious here if you haven't figured it out. Okay? You can't get down Interstate 80 anymore between here and San Francisco in less than 4 hours. And we're going to forgive income taxes on teachers in California. And Medi-Cal is already $2 billion in the red. But the boys and girls under the dome don't think it's important that seniors... I'm just aghast at the whole logic of it, folks. And you can only attribute it to one reason. And here I'm going to get very political. And it's ageism, and it's ageism by a group of people who have been in charge in California at the legislative level for a really long time. They don't care about seniors. They don't care about seniors. I can't... this is not the first time they've canceled the waiver program. They did it a couple years ago. They just said, oh, we don't have any money. Now, remember, this has nothing to do with all that's been going on in Congress with the new healthcare stuff. Don't let anybody tell you it has anything to do with that. It has to do with the state of California has no more money to pay. They got money for everything else. They have money for everything else. But they don't have money here. And every time when you go to a Department of Healthcare Services meetings, the blame always falls on seniors because they're using up all of our money. There are 14 million people on Medi-Cal in California. 85,000 of them are in nursing homes or on the waiver. So you tell me who's using up the 80,000 or the other 14 million that are on Medi-Cal in Cal. One-third of the population of California is on Medi-Cal. But we don't have the money to keep the waiver program going. We only have 3,700 beds that the state pays for. Because seniors are not important. They're throwaways. Now, somebody can get mad at me and somebody can tell you this is extreme. But everybody I've talked to, and by the way, there was no announcement. Well, there was an announcement. But there wasn't any like, you know, be prepared. Oh, we may end a student. You can get on a waiting list. How many people do you think now are on the waiting list in California? How many? and there's no due date, no, there's no date, oh, we'll be back in force, we're going to have money by this date. Every senior advocate should be outraged by this. Absolutely outraged. It's one of the best programs. You know, everybody talks about we need to take care of our seniors and we need to keep them at home and we don't want them institutionalized. Well, what do you think is better, assisted living or a nursing home as far as severity of care? So here was a program to try to keep low-income seniors out of nursing homes. And what do? We give all the money to other groups of people. I got to be careful where I go here, because I could get really, really specific, and I don't want to do that. And if you think I'm angry, you're right, I am. There's nothing I can do about it, because I've sat with legislators, and they don't care. In fact, basically, I had one legislator tell me and the people that were with me, an elder law attorney and some other people, look, I've got other things that are more important. This is not important to me. And I'm not going to tell you who it was. If people don't start getting exercised about the care of our, and I'm not talking about the lawsuit happy people. I'm not talking about the plaintiff's bar. Yes, there are nursing homes that did bad things, and yes, there are hospitals that dropped grandma on her head. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if with the aging population we have, if we don't reprioritize how we spend money as a state and as a people, we are going to have a nightmare on our hands in less than 20 years. How many old people do you see on the streets who are homeless? Not 20-year-olds who have mental problems. How many old people do you see on the streets? More and more and more. And when you talk to true elder advocates, the people who are out there in the trenches, not the people that sit in their offices getting $200,000 salaries. When you talk to people at the Salvation Army or at food banks, they will tell you they are seeing more and more and more elderly on the streets. They are finding more and more elderly living in filth with nobody in their lives and no hope for care. And people who would qualify for the waiver program if we had one, but we don't have one anymore in California. I don't know what your priorities are. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I guess nothing surprises me anymore. But when I found out last week that the waiver program had been stopped, I just about fell over. Because it was stopped a couple years ago. So I guess here's my question for you. Why aren't you asking your state legislator where the money's going? Ask them where the money's going. Ask them how much money goes into their pensions and their salaries and the pensions and salaries for their staff and for railroads and for fish in the Delta and for repaired dams that nobody paid any attention to and to trains that don't run and to freeways that don't carry car. How much money is going places? How much money is going into, I got to be really careful here, people who are receiving benefits who don't pay any income tax? And yet, what are we doing to the most frail among us, to seniors and the frail disabled and the mentally ill and the confused? What are we doing for them? Why are they not on our radar along with tech interests who get billions in tax breaks, with large agricultural interests who get billions in tax breaks? Why is not a small portion of that going to take care of our frail elderly and the disabled. I don't get it. And the trend in my 25 years is to ignore it more and more and more, not the opposite. I think there's a message for us as a society, and this is just my opinion, in how we live as a society and how we treat our children and how we treat our frail elderly. If we cannot treat our frail elderly in a compassionate way, then I think it says a lot about us. And I see a lot of people worried about current politics and worried about this bill and worried about the environment and worried about everything else. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have a concern for those things. But should we not have a concern somewhere higher on our priority list about the frail elderly, the people who have to, after working for 50 or 60 years, have to go to food banks or homeless shelters to be taken care of, when there was this wonderful thing called the Assisted Living Waiver Program that would help take care of the most frail among us for a very small amount of money. But the state in its wisdom, do you understand that Department of Healthcare Services, folks, is the largest budget item in California? It's bigger than schools, it's bigger than colleges, it's bigger than roads and highways. And you're telling me out of the largest budget in California, in which we have 14 million people on Medi-Cal, there's no money? We have so many employees at that department that are paid annuitants, which means they've already retired, they're getting a pension, and they get rehired. Because there's so much money. I just have to think that as a people, if we were really concerned about that, somebody wouldn't get reelected unless they could explain why. Why we have abandoned these people, and in the middle, a little tiny junky program that only took care of 3,700 of the most frail, impoverished among us is canceled for lack of money. If it's a concern to you, I know I've rambled here a little bit, but if it's a concern of you, share this with somebody else, and then somebody, please, start calling state legislators and ask them, where did the money go? Where did the money go? The largest agency in California, where did the money go? Where are the budgetary items that would have taken care of this? We're giving everybody else a tax break. We have bridges across the bay that are billions of dollars over what they were budgeted. Whatever they budget to fix Oroville Dam will be half of what it's eventually going to cost, guaranteed. And yet we can't take care of the most frail among us. We can't have programs that do that. We have to create bureaucracies that make it almost impossible for the average person to even know that the waiver program existed, or the PACE program exists, or in-home support care services exists, or personal care services provider exists. I once had to fax an application to Alameda County 5 times before they finally said, oh yeah, we got it. Oh yeah, we found the other 4 after 2 months. Why is there no accountability at the state level for these programs and how they're managed and how people are treated? I hope you decide to do something. If I can help, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Get to one of my workshops. Get involved with your local organization. Hold their feet to the ground. You know, the big organizations don't care about this stuff. You have to do this. You have to be concerned about this. Because your mom's going to get older, you're going to get older, your pop's going to get older, your grammy's going to get older, and they're going to need care. then I'm telling you there's less and less and less care. Nursing homes are taking fewer and fewer sick people. Why, Bob, why? Because of the regulations and the lawsuits. They don't want to take anybody that's hard to take care of. Why is that? Because we don't pay attention to them. We don't pay attention to their needs. We don't pay attention to the assisted living waiver program. We don't pay attention. The legislature is controlled completely by unions. I wish there was a union of seniors who somebody would listen to. 3,700 people. A little program that took care of the frail elderly. There was no money for that, but we got money for a train. 800-999-8007. Get to one of my workshops. Get in to see me. Make sure you have a plan for your mom and dad or your grandma and grandpa. Make sure you're ready to deal with what's coming. Get on my newsletter list. Ask me a question. Come and see me. The appointment is free. And I hope you're willing to get involved. I hope you're willing to get angry. I hope you're willing to begin to study a little bit and read. Sometimes look at the state budget. Look at the Department of Healthcare Services budget and look and see where the money's going. It's not going where it should be going, in my opinion. Get involved. Do something. Be a part of the solution. Get angry. 800-999-8007 for Assets and Aging. This is Bob Scrivano. And remember, everything here is my opinion only and does not reflect the opinion of anybody else. I hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you here again next week. Hope to see you at an upcoming workshop right here on Assets and Aging.